AGEA was signed into law in June of last year. It was the Palin administration's response to failed contract negotiations between former Governor Frank Murkowski and the Big Three oil producers, most of which transpired behind closed doors. Under AGEA, companies were invited to submit proposals to build a natural gas pipeline from the North Slope to either Alberta or Valdez, an undertaking that could be the largest private construction project in North American history. Five companies have responded with bids on the project. Only TransCanada, a pipeline contractor, was deemed fully responsive. Now the state is soliciting public comment on what Alaskans want out of the deal if TransCanada is ultimately awarded a license to proceed. Commissioner Pat Galvin emphasized for Sitkins that AGEA was intended to sustain momentum for gas line construction with a completely open, competitive bidding process and full public disclosure. In this excerpt, he compares AGEA with former Governor Murkowski's approach.
When the previous administration worked on trying to reach a deal, negotiate a contract with the three producers, it resulted in a contract that basically was unacceptable to Alaskans. It just went way beyond what Alaskans feel is necessary in order to really reflect what is needed for this project. And so the producers are saying, at the time, they're not going to go forward. We've got ConocoPhillips now breaking out from the other two and saying, hey, we've got an idea to move forward, and we'll talk about that in a moment and distinguish it from AGEA and talk about how it fits into the process. But we found ourselves with the producers saying, we need fiscal terms up front before we're going to move forward. And the governor recognized that that wasn't a path that was going to lead to success, and so we need to move the project with some other mechanism. Other parties that are interested in the project are saying there's a whole lot of upfront costs that are going to have to be incurred to develop this project. You have to do all the design work, all the cost estimations, all the engineering, all the regulatory work to go through the process to determine whether or not you're going to get the approvals needed. All that costs a tremendous amount of money. And in the end, you get a regulated rate of return. That's the way pipelines operate. So your return on that is going to be capped. But there's a lot of risk associated with making that big investment if at the end of the day, the producers are the ones that are going to decide whether they're going to put gas into the line. And so we weren't able to get anybody willing to make that kind of upfront commitment, that kind of investment. So AGEA looked at those and is trying to find a way to get past that high-centered position on this project.
Commissioner of Revenue Pat Galvin speaking to Sitkins about the Alaska Gas Line Inducement Act on Wednesday. The state will put up $500 million in matching funds to assist the winning company in getting over early regulatory hurdles. Even if the TransCanada route is chosen, there will still be about 750 miles of pipeline constructed in Alaska. During questions and answers, Sitkins told the Gas Line team that they were concerned that the project create opportunities for Southeasterners and tribal citizens to find work, and that the project contribute toward revitalizing this part of the state. Resident Harvey Brandt cited declining population in Southeast and a transitional economy. He reminded the administration that Southeast was not just an appendage. We're here, said Brandt. Resident Jay Stelzenmuller observed that none of the major North Slope producers had submitted AGEA bids. He asked Kirk Gibson, deputy director of the State Division of Oil and Gas, whether the existing producers would be willing to fill someone else's pipeline with product that would compete with their own markets in the lower 48.
Most people would agree that the introduction of a major slug of new gas to the North American market would have some downward price pressure, right? It would create some downward movement in the overall price because assuming static demand, if you add supply, you're going to push the price down a little bit. I don't know that that's a sufficient disincentive for them to participate. I would be reluctant to say that would be a reason for them not to participate. It's a question for them. It's a fair question. But I would say ask folks who have those particular concerns, people like Exxon, BP, Conoco, Shell, Chevron, Anadarko? Ask them. That's a very important question. I can't answer it for them.
Members of the gas line team estimated that there are 100 trillion cubic feet of known gas reserves on the North Slope, and much more yet to be discovered. Current consumption in the U.S. is about 80 billion cubic feet per day. The public comment period on TransCanada's AGEA application closes March 6th. Comments will be accepted online at the State of Alaska website or by fax. 771-3930. Governor Palin likely will call a special session of the legislature to consider TransCanada license in April or May. TransCanada's application has a timeline that shows the first Alaska gas going to market in 2017.